Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Live in the Day with Jay. I am your host. Thank you for joining yet another great show. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of ridiculousness that's gone on in the last 24 hours. I don't know, y'all. There's some problems. There's some problems we need to talk about. My main problem that we need to discuss is we need to discuss our children going back into the schools and why this situation has went way left when it didn't have to go way left, why we are continuing to put up with some of the ridiculousness and silliness that's going on in our area. I don't understand it. We're going to be joined today by a special guest. She's going to come on the show, and she's going to give us her insight on what's going on with the school system and why it's very important that you all pay attention, that you voice your opinion, and that you make known that if you don't like what's going on, then you need to say something. You need to say something. Number to call is 515-602-9785. I want to hear from you guys. I'm going to open the phone lines up today. So hopefully I will get some interesting contrast as to what's going on. But right now, there's too much going on in our communities right now. We got everything to worry about. We have unrest between people in the Gaston County area. You know, we're going to talk about what happened at Tony's Ice Cream last night, which is crazy to me. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why that's important, why it shouldn't happen, why we should be on the lookout for things like that happening in our area, and what can we do to stop it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the decision to go blended in the local school area, and why that is a disastrous decision, why that shouldn't happen. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of our great leaders that we have lost in the last couple of days, which really plays a huge part in why we should be thinking totally different right now. We should be thinking on a whole new level. We should be thinking on a level of legacy right now. We're not thinking on a level of legacy right now. We're thinking on buffoonery and tomfoolery, and that's exactly what I call it. And that's what I think. That's what I think that we are really having a problem with, is knowing which way we're going to go when it comes to our young people and how successful we want them to be. They can only be as successful as we set them up to be. That's it. I mean, if we set them up to be successful, then the sky's the limit. But if we are not going to set them up to be successful, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing when it comes to making sure that our young people are going to have a successful future? Making sure that our teachers are taken care of. Man, we got so much to talk about. Number to call is 515-602-9785. I really want to hear what you guys have to say. I really want to hear, because it's very important. I'm giving you this platform to say what you need to say. And we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming show. We got the show coming up, Shop Talk. It's going to be a great, great event, and I think that you are going to like it. Number to call, 515-602-9785. 602-9785. You guys are definitely, I mean definitely live today. Today.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Greenlight Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay. Now go get him, daddy.
Welcome back to the show. Number call is 515-602-9785. That number again is 515-602-9785. Guys, before we went to a break, we were talking a little bit about what's going on and with some of the decisions that come down in Gastonia the other day. Well, yesterday, matter of fact, and how so many people are affected by this. And I don't understand it. We're going to get into that. But real quick, I want to say you guys can definitely check out the show in many platforms. You can go to Blog Talk Radio. You can go to Spotify. You can go to iTunes. In iTunes, just search for Live in the Day with Jay Radio. Hit subscribe. And definitely make sure when you hit subscribe, leave a little rating. It don't matter what you leave. Just leave something and subscribe. It's all free. And you can get all the shows on demand for free. But yesterday, we were talking to – oh, and also you can go to iHeartRadio and listen to the show. Man, I don't know how I forgot that. But anyway, there's many platforms that you can go and listen to the show, and I think that you guys definitely need to check out the show because there's lots of great things we're going to be talking about and that we do talk about. Again, yesterday, we were – I was perplexed last night. And I think, you know, I didn't get much sleep at all because I thought about how my day went. I thought about how I am looked at as not an important piece of our young people's future when it comes to being an educator. And, you know, and I don't care what some of you out there might say. I know you're going to say some crazy mess about teachers want to be home and not get paid and get paid for not a full day. It is not nothing like that. You should know. Parents should know by now how hard it is to teach. Even remote teaching is very hard. It's harder than remote teaching. It's harder than being in the classroom. I can promise you that. And that is a situation that is not being looked at in that way. And to send us back into the fire, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I think it's ridiculous. And there needs to be more. And saying so, my first guest I'm going to bring on the show, and I promise you, you're going to get more than what you bargained for when you listen to her. I'm going to let her give you her whole name if she wants to, but I'm going to bring her on as Miss Clark, and she knows exactly why I'm doing that. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Ms. Clark. Ms. Clark, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. First and foremost, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
And,
appreciate it.
And I wanted to bring you on as Ms. Clark. That's how I talk to you every day. we're both educators, you know, and Tell me what you're feeling right now.
Ooh, I am feeling, you know, underappreciated, undervalued. I am feeling like a pawn, you know. It's ridiculous. The school board meeting left me totally numb. Last night, and I am the lack of answers, the lack of solutions that were not offered actually.
right.
Definitely told the story. First of all, to conduct a school board meeting where you're deciding whether or not we go back into the classroom, and you're all virtual for the most part, except for two people, I think it was,
yes.
and everyone else is remote at home. That speaks volumes for me.
It does.
Number one. Number two, to not have, you know, all of the I's dotted and T's crossed in reference to the safety, not only for teachers, but for students, for bus drivers, to not have solid answers or solutions for transporting these children safely and maintaining safe distancing while they're on the bus, because there's only going to be the bus driver there and no one else to manage. That is very concerning for me. No concrete evidence that children will be even vetted effectively in the schools. I mean, teachers are going to have to do triple duty, looks like, with helping with trying to get kids screened to come in. Then we have to try to teach virtually and in person, manage behaviors, which we all know, especially in the county that we work, that behaviors are not always the best, as a matter of fact. Most times not the best.
Right.
And then,
right.
Yeah. And then going into a hotbed, meaning there are so many people in the county that refuse to wear masks themselves. So you already know that they have not insisted that their own children wear masks, and but they're expecting us to manage that when we go back to school.
Right.
And we're not talking about sanitation. Sanitation of the school itself, of the classrooms, of the desks, of the bathrooms is lacking on a normal day.
You better say that again for the people in the back.
It's lacking on a normal day. We can barely get wipes. We have to spend our own money to get cleaning supplies. We have to ask our parents to bring in cleaning supplies. We have to beg to get effective cleaning supplies. So how in the world are we going to manage to the level that's going to be required to keep ourselves safe and our students safe?
Ms. Clark, what happened? I mean, where did this go this left at? How was this supposed to be this way? And it's okay.
It's not supposed to be this way, and it's not okay. But because we are listening to, you know, frustrated parents. First of all, frustrated parents that are probably not actually working. There are definitely ways to as a community to come together, children. But see, parents don't want to do the work that we've been required to do over and over and over and over again. First of all, manage your own children's behaviors. Teach your children, be involved in their education. And you and I both know how hard it is to get parents to even show up for parent-teacher conferences. And that's one time a quarter.
Yes. Yeah.
And now they're looking at us like, oh, y'all are expecting us to manage our own children? You're expecting us to actually be engaged in their learning? You're expecting us to actually, you know, put some effort towards our child's own, our own children's education? How dare you?
But
and
you know what
I say to that?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I say, how dare you? How dare you expect for me to jeopardize my family, my health, and my family's health to teach your children? How dare you in the middle of a COVID when you haven't done anything to assist to bring the numbers down?
That's right.
That's how I feel.
Now, you know, I've talked to quite a few parents, and there's only a couple that's like, well, at first I wanted them to come back, but now I don't want them to come back. And I think, personally, a majority would like to wait to see if this blows over. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense for this to not to for us not to be sitting in each other's faces right now. For us, here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how the governor can get on TV and say we are still not out of the woods. We're still in phase. We're going to stay in phase whatever we're in right now, two or three. We're going to stay in that. Mm-hmm. But yet and still, I think it's good enough to go to school. I don't understand that ideology. I don't understand that you're telling me numbers are going up, but it's safe to be sitting in each other's face.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't understand it either. I don't think anyone that has any, that has any reasonable amount of education and knowledge and common sense would understand that. I don't understand. It's like you're saying one thing, you're saying you're double minded. You're saying two different things, you know, that don't make sense, because in the full realm of things, you're putting everyone in jeopardy. You're asking us to stay home. You're asking us to wear masks, but yet you're gonna open schools.
Yes.
You're gonna open schools. You're actually gonna open schools, which is of course by far one of the most germy places
yes.
ever.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, that's true.
It's a cesspool for the most for germs. I'm not saying that, you know, all schools are dirty or whatever, but it really is. I mean, these kids are in the stage of learning how to keep themselves clean and learning how to wash their hands, even if they use the bathroom. That the common stuff, you know, we're in the midst of doing that, and we all know how in the middle school, from the middle school realm, how that goes, right? Going through puberty and such, and the kids are just not. I don't think they're ready for the level of sanitation that it takes and requires for safety at this point.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
And
I think everybody's stuck on cartoon mode.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And to expect us as teachers, what do you think we're going to be doing on Wednesdays? What do you think they're going to be expecting us to do but scrubbing? I'm
deep
sorry.
Cleaning.
I'm so sorry, but I did not spend over $100,000 on my education. Up and through my
That's
master's
right.
degree to be in those schools, spraying, cleaning, and doing all of it. No, I'm there to teach. I want to be able to teach, and I believe I can do that just as effectively as being face-to-face if they allow me to teach virtually.
Yes.
I think
I
you
totally
get
agree.
A bigger, yeah, it doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense. And then I'm so busy worried about who's touching me and who's, you know, who's breathing and who's coughing, and I'm on guard. I can't even teach effectively. And kids can't learn effectively in some mask that they're not used to wearing.
Yeah.
You know, trying to learn, and I'm managing all of that. That's stressful on anybody, the children included.
So no one ever said who's responsible for cleaning all the masks.
You're right. Do we take masks back up after the kids are worn? I mean, how does that work? And then what happens with you? They said they would. Yeah, they're saying that each child is going to be issued, I want to say, 5 masks a week or 5 masks for the
year.
I don't know what the number was. It was crazy. But what happens when the child constantly forgets their mask? I mean, they can't even remember a pencil.
Exactly.
They can't remember a pencil. They can't. They don't remember paper. They don't remember library books. How are we expecting them to remember a mask?
And what do you do to the student that refuses to wear the mask?
What do you do?
There's so
what do
many.
You do?
And I know that there can be problems with each remedy that you put out there. But I don't think it'll be this many problems. The first and foremost is to be safe. It's for everyone to be safe. And we're actually going to be sitting in there 5 days a week. I mean, and I know that. And if this was not if this was a normal situation, I love being in there.
Yes.
But on the same token, you're asking me to do something that potentially can take you out.
You and your family.
Yes.
You and your family. You and your family. Anybody that you're around, you know, you come home to, you we are exposing ourselves. And I know doctors and nurses and such, you know, do the same, but that's their choice. They choose to be on the front lines like that. I'm sorry. I never expected to be on the front lines like this.
I want, kid, you got time?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. I want to play this clip. It's a clip from a teacher. And I want to say she was in Kansas. It's about 4 months ago. Very powerful. I want you to hear what she has to say in her response to things that were going on and how she was received by her school board. Okay?
Mm.
All right,
okay.
So here's
yeah.
the clip.
Yeah.
My name is Amanda Kaufman, and I resigned my position as teacher for the Shawnee Mission School District effective immediately. Several years ago, this friend decided to leave education, and she said to me, Amanda, teaching is like a bad marriage. You never get your needs met, but you stay in it for the kids. I didn't fully understand what she meant until this past month. Just like a bad relationship, our communication has broken down. You aren't listening. I thought that maybe like a troubled relationship, we could go to counseling, get an outside perspective to work on our differences. But when you fail to show up to the conversation, but sent your lawyer instead, I finally understood that this just isn't going to work. The kids and I deserve better. Despite the accusation that we as teachers have not been focused on the students during this difficult year, I've been thinking the most about what my students are taking away from watching the way you treat their teachers. Talking to the board of the administrators in this building is like shouting into the wind, and I won't waste my breath. But I would like to address my students, many of whom are watching the live stream tonight. All right, guys, you all know that the most important lesson I want you to take away from your time with me is just because you can doesn't mean you should. Usually I'm applying that lesson to technology violations or intellectual bullying, but it's true in life as well. I could accept this contract, smile, and stay silent about the lies the district perpetuates about its teachers, but that doesn't mean I should. I hope that in your future relationships, whether they be personal or professional, that you will walk away when you should. Just because you can't accept less for yourself doesn't mean you should. Here's another important lesson. Despite what you may be told, respect should not have to be earned. It is owed to you as a human being, especially by those who have power over you in some way. Disrespect in an uneven power dynamic is bullying. When we see bullying, we must stand up and call it out, even when it's hard, even when it comes at a cost. Just because you could stay silent doesn't mean you should. Starting over is never easy. You eighth graders know that well as you prepare for high school. Let me assure you, it only gets harder as you age. But just because you can stay in a familiar place doesn't mean you should. Go chase your dreams. Find your passion. Remember me in your acceptance speeches. But don't worry about me. I'm a highly educated, very talented teacher. They are in high demand right now in other districts. And finally, I don't know what I'll be doing to make up for you tomorrow morning. But I won't be greeting you in the hallway. Please don't see my empty doorway. It's the time that I can say in the deeper that I don't care. That empty doorway is my sign that you are still my favorite human, and I will always be your biggest advocate. There will be no clarifying questions. I don't answer to you anymore.
That was her talking to the school board.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, she quit on the spot. She quit on the spot. And I understand. I understand. We didn't get a chance to address our school board.
Right.
I don't know when the next meeting is, but they should definitely want to talk to every teacher they can possibly talk to.
Exactly.
They have dropped the ball. I'm sorry. And if they listening to this show or whatever the case may be, and they hear me, y'all have dropped the ball. This is not a good look. It's not a good look because you have left a lot of people in disarray right now. You have left a lot of people heartbroken right now. Do you know how long it took for me to become a teacher? Finally get there here. Look how I'm getting treated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look how we getting treated.
Absolutely. And then to be looked at because we're standing for our health and the health of our children. And we're standing for the decisions that are being made by people who don't even, who seem to not even care about how their decisions are affecting our lives personally and otherwise. That's hurtful.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
it is.
For those of us who sacrifice years on top of years, and I know, you know, most days I'm in the classroom, I'm involved with my kids, I teach from the heart, and to have that be overlooked and not considered, my health not be considered, it's really sad.
It is. It is. You know, where do we go from here?
Where do we go? What I would suggest to every teacher, especially those who have underlying health conditions or have people at home that have underlying health conditions, you have to assess. You know, they say that they're going to offer accommodations for us. Well, the move right now, what I would do is, you know, talk to your physician. Talk to your physician. Have a candid conversation with them. Talk to your HR department to see where you stand. Get documentation and see where you stand, because when they say they have accommodations, they should have accommodations. And so if virtual is best for your health and the health of your family, then they should accommodate and allow teachers to teach from a virtual platform. Those that have the conditions. Now, you have teachers out there that they're gung-ho until something happens to them, you know what I mean, or their family members. They're going to be ready to go. They want to be the heroes. And I say, go for it. If you have your cape on, which we all have a cape, but I don't think my cape is worth bearing if that means my life.
Yes.
And so we're all superheroes. We're all, saving children and on the front lines and willing to do that, but not at the expense of our lives and the lives of our family members.
Yes, and as I told them on the show the other day, I actually was speaking to somebody else yesterday. A lot of my listeners know that my sister passed away about 2.5 weeks ago of COVID.
Yes.
So it gives a whole different twist to me.
Absolutely.
To listen
Absolutely.
To someone tell me, you're going to have to do this.
Yeah.
And to twist it and say, it's for the children. I love my students, and they know that.
Yes.
But this is a whole new dynamic.
It is.
This just puts a whole new mental on everything that I'm asked to do right now.
Absolutely. You were in that hallway. You were in that hallway when we had the tornado watch, remember, and the drill, and the kids had to be on their knees and huddled, their heads down for over an hour. You remember that? It was not too long ago, right before school was out, and the tears and the kids shaking and being so fearful of a tornado, right? And I get that, but what we're talking about right here, it can be detrimental to the children and their emotional state if they ever feel that they were the cause of somebody else dying, or if they see their friends infected and dying, when the option could have been for them to stay at home and be safe.
Ms. Clark, do you mind if we take some more calls while you're on here?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, how you doing? Good discussion.
I'm good.
Tonight.
Where are you calling from, caller?
I'm actually calling you from Toronto.
Okay.
You're going to have this discussion again when they come up with the vaccine, because then the next thing is, well, you can't go in the classroom unless you take the vaccine. Now you got to do this all over again, because there's going to be a lot of teachers that's not going to want to take it. And now there's another tough decision that needs to be made. So I think we're only at the beginning of this for teachers.
You said you're from Toronto. All right, what are you seeing?
I'm
what are
your
Toronto. Educators seeing?
I'm in Toronto. I'm not from Toronto.
Okay. So you're in Toronto right now. Are you from? Are you normally from the States, or are you from the States? Or
Yep.
Do you mind telling me what state you live in?
I'm originally from New York.
Okay.
I live in D.C., Charlotte, North Carolina, Ohio, now Toronto.
Okay. So what do you see is going on with the education system there in Toronto while you're there?
As it relates to this COVID thing, I think Toronto, Canada is a different place. They're probably more leftist, going towards socialist kind of thing. So they're going to keep their students. Students are not even going to start this semester. I think they're going to try to do all online, which also brings up a whole nother set of problems for parents, you know, and teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to keep students, at least in Ontario where I am, the province, which is like a state, right, in the United States. So they're going to keep students home for the first semester.
Okay. So are you an educator? You're not an educator, are you?
No, I'm not an educator, no.
Okay. So if you were an educator right now and you were faced with going into the classroom knowing that things are not quite right for you to do that, how would you dissect that?
I think it's an individual choice. It depends on your risk tolerance, right? So for me, would I go if the students are going to be there, then I'm going to. That would be my thing, but that's my risk tolerance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Level. And everybody has a different risk tolerance level.
Right.
For someone like you, it's closer to home because you just mentioned your sister, so that's one thing. But for some other people, they may not see it like that. Like there's no one close to them. Like it's not as personal. And maybe
right.
they're not as fearful. So it's an individual decision. It really puts people in a very tough position at the
it
end
does.
Of the day.
It does.
Right?
It's sad. It's very sad right now.
Because you're going to find some teachers who are going to say, okay, you know, may not be the most ideal situation, but I'm going to go. Right? And then you're
mm-hmm.
going to find other teachers who are going to say, no way, and really fight against going in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think neither one of them, nobody's wrong, right? It's an individual
mm-hmm.
decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really a position to be in for any teacher to be in, to be quite honest.
What about a board? Do you feel that, and I know it is tough, I'm not going to lie, I know it's a tough decision for any board to make, but they are strategically placed there to make those tough decisions. And when it comes to dealing with health or a job or a child, I mean, where do you start to dissect that to make an educated decision that's going to affect the lives of many people?
You know, I think a lot of it, the school board is one thing, but they need to take their cue from the parents and the health professionals. I think that's where they should lean on for making these decisions.
What
so
about
course, the
educators?
I was just about to say, add in the teachers. So the health professionals, the parents, and the teachers, and they're going to have to put that in a pot and stir it up and see, come out with the best outcome that they can. But they have to have those ingredients in there. Those people need to chime in and be included in this decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the whatever decision they make is not going to be accepted by everyone.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But if the school board doesn't do that, if they don't really listen to the teachers, if they don't really listen to the health professionals, you know, and the parents, then that's not a good thing.
Yes.
It's not a good thing.
What profession are you in?
I'm an engineer.
You got any job openings?
Times two. I'm
okay,
highly
so what,
educated,
so,
honey. Look,
now,
Muhammad and I make a good engineering team. Which one you want?
That's right. I know that's right. But listen, what are you guys going to do? I'm listening and I hear. I mean,
I don't know.
It's such a crazy situation to be
yes,
in.
It is.
What do you
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what we should do. Only thing I know how to do is what was put in me, and that's fight.
Right.
That's the only thing I know.
There is no place I'd rather be than in the classroom with my students. There's no place I'd make a bigger impact than in the classroom in front of my students. And when I tell you it is a tough decision that has to be made from my family perspective, you know, I'm one of those ones that's kind of in a situation to where, you know, I have underlying conditions. My husband has underlying conditions. I don't know if that is if going and taking the chance, you know, and I'm the, you know, I'm a warrior. You know, I'm an Army vet. I'm a warrior. I will do and been on the, you know, front lines of education for many years. But and there's nothing more that what I would rather do than to be there with my students. But I can't risk my life, and I can't chance. I've been in quarantine. I've been home, you know, for what, 3-4 months now at this point.
Yeah.
I'm not about to have, you know, kept my family safe and kept myself safe and you know, to go into work, you know, and get sick and possibly die. It's just that serious.
It is. It is.
So at this point, I don't know. I don't know. I have appointments set up. I'm, you know, I'm going to have a conversation, and I'm going to, you know, figure it out the best way that I know how. And then on the other side of that, I have two children that's going to be in college this year. I have my, you know, I have a junior, and I have a rising freshman that's going to be in college. So, you know, from a salary perspective, you know, what does that do for my family?
Yeah,
that's... That this is a tough one, man. It's almost like there's no easy answers here at all.
Yeah,
like, there's
you're
nothing.
Right.
I mean, now where state are you guys?
We're in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
You're in North Carolina. Okay. Yeah, I used to live in Charlotte. So what is the state saying? Like, what are they? What are the teachers' union saying? Like, what are they?
we don't have a union here. Unions are illegal in North Carolina. But the governor has actually opened it up for determination for each district to make their own determination on their own facts, but the facts of science and health, and they have left it open to them. The governor basically said that we could have a blended classroom now, but you can also go fully remote too. He just left it up to the districts.
And the district that you guys are in, I take it, are saying that the teachers have to be in the classroom?
Yes.
Well, for CMS, that's Charlotte Mech, they are going for like the first, I think, is it 2 weeks, Mo?
It's
is
two
it
weeks.
Two
they're
weeks?
Going 2 weeks. Yeah. And then they're going to be home.
Virtual the rest of the time, yeah.
Whoa, hold on. 2 weeks of what?
Just
they're
to, going to
be in
be,
class.
And I think, yeah, in class, to, you know, get acclimated to what the teacher's expectations are, you know, to get to know their teacher, to kind of understand the platform, the learning platform that they're going to be, the virtual learning platform they're going to be working from, and then after that, everything is going to be virtual.
Okay. Now, are you guys okay with that, or is that still not?
I think that's still a little extreme.
Yeah, that's a little iffy.
Yeah, it's a little iffy, but I think even that could have been conducted differently had the county that we're in adopted that same plan.
Yeah.
Somebody
in the chat was saying only a third of those students will be in at a time. I think that's why it was a 2 week period.
That's why it's 2 weeks. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think they're going to be there all day. And I don't think they're going to be there all day. That's another thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
would you guys just rather just go all virtual from the jump?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's how they're doing it here in where I am. They're all going virtual. Up to the university level, they're all going virtual.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Until January.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, and then
me.
They're
going to
reevaluate.
I'm not saying the entire year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just until we see, and this is the thing, I think the biggest thing for me is had the numbers been decreasing, it would be different. If the numbers were going, you know, the numbers were on a decline, it would be different. But the numbers are steadily going up, and you're telling us, wear masks, social distance, stay home. But then you're saying go to school, and the numbers are still rising, especially in the area, in the district that we're going into.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, let me not say that. Unfortunately, this is happening in an election year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's happening is that it's being politicized by both sides to get a one up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't even know. They just had a press conference. What was it, yesterday they had a press conference. I think it was yesterday. And they were talking to a town in Florida where they said the numbers are high. And the reporter asked, there were two people in their 20s that died from it. But one of the people that died from a motorcycle accident. And then the person they were asking said, well, we were kind of talking about that. But then maybe we thought, maybe the COVID caused them to have the accident. And I said, now, what kind of
ridiculous? Wow.
See, as long as people play these games,
yeah,
then the people are going to be confused.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is happening in an election year, and everybody's looking for the one-up, right? Either they want the numbers to go up or they want the numbers to go down for their side. And it's just, it's really unfortunate. And it's got a lot of people... It's got a lot of people confused. And you have people like in Huntington, California. They had a video where they were going out trying to give out masks, and people were just cursing the people out. Like, get out of here with those masks. Like, get out of here with that, right? It's a weird year, man. This whole thing is really weird.
Yeah, and you know, now we did have one board member that spoke out and voted no. And was very, very persistently saying, no, we're not ready for that. But they were overcome by the majority, and it was just not a good thing.
Wow.
And then keep in mind as well, I've known her for years since I moved here, for at least 13 or 14 years. And when I tell you, just throughout the entire meeting, she was asking the hard questions and really exposed a lot about the preparation, which is lacking. Extremely lacking. And she expressed that, her concern with that. And then I know, you know, she has a very long history in education, whereas I'm not sure that any of the other people on the school board do. They don't have that long history in the classroom or in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's concerning as well. But yet they are making decisions about our lives and about the lives of our children.
But, you know, it goes all the way back to what I talk about on this show all the time. Vote. If we put the people in that have our agendas,
yes,
then we would not be really sitting here looking like Fred and Barney on a Saturday night.
I think,
you know,
I think in addition to that, though, I think maybe there needs to be a strategy or something of what the schools should look like.
I agree.
And in addition, because if you vote without having anything, any leverage, you know what I mean? Then you're 50-50 on whether you're going to get anything at bat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you go with a certain agenda and have them approve whoever you're voting for, have them approve what you're putting out as far as the schools and say, okay, we're okay with that. We're gonna push that when we get in, type of thing. At least you have something to hold them accountable to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we got to do there's a saying, you get the politicians you deserve.
Right.
And
right.
That's because the onus is on us. You know, we should be going to them with, you know, here's a, here's what we want as far as education is concerned or whatever it is. And, you know, this is what we think is in the best interest of us and the children or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, if they say no, then you say, okay, have a nice day. you're not getting our vote, period.
Right.
And we have the numbers to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm not saying we should do this, but we could hijack the whole of the Democratic Party if we wanted to. We could take it over. No, think about it. If we go and we had a list of demands and they said no, we could say, okay, you'll never win another election. We'll stay home.
Wow.
What can they do? They'll never win again.
Hey,
right?
You know what? You know what?
That's a mafia way to do things, but I'm just saying.
I used to work for the Department of Commerce, and I had to hire people, and I hired an engineer to work with me. And I tell you, man, you guys' minds are amazing. You are an engineer to your heart. I can tell just by listening to you speak, and I think you guys' minds are amazing. Just thought I'd throw that in there because your thinking is really tickling my interest right now.
Well, I mean, you guys have a good concern about what's going on, and I'm just enjoying listening to the conversation. I had no idea that it was going on to this extent, and these are the kind of decisions that our teachers are trying to make at this time. And you don't have a lot of time. School starts soon,
no.
Right?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time at all.
Yeah. Teachers got to report back on August 10th.
The district that you guys are in, are you guys in a district that's doing the whole 2 weeks and then the rest virtual? Or
no. They're coming out the gate. Class.
Oh.
Yeah. Not to full capacity. I think they're doing different days, but not whole capacity days, but they're alternating.
Yeah, but you guys still got to be there the whole
time.
Yeah,
we got to be there the whole time. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's disheartening. It's disheartening. It truly is. It's really disheartening.
Going to be any protests or anything?
Well, you know what? As of now, not yet. Not yet as of now. But I don't know what, you know, what people in the community got planned. I don't know what other teachers got planned. I don't know. You know, we don't know.
Well, I think the gate is open for people exiting the education, the field of education. There are a lot of people exiting, some awesome teachers that are leaving the field. They can't risk their lives. They can't. And they're going. They're leaving. And that's the really sad part about it. That's the really sad part about it.
It is.
Yeah.
It truly is.
It's bad enough that the profession itself is not respected. It's bad enough that the profession itself is underpaid. But to ask us to do the things that they're asking us to do on top of the low pay and on top of, you know, the amount of work and commitment that it takes, you know, is insulting, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Teachers should be paid more, especially teachers that perform. Teachers that perform should be paid a lot more.
Yes.
I mean, I understand that the teachers' unions around the country say no, we gotta, but there are some people that are just better. Like I can listen to you guys and tell you just you have a knack for this kind of thing, right? So
yes,
I think you should be paid more than somebody who's, you know, poor performing, doesn't really want to be there, kind of stuff, you know.
Right. And we have those. We have those.
Yeah, we have those. We have those. And the level of work is the undertaking is tremendous when you want to do your job well, and, you know, and I've always been one that wanted to do my job well. I wanted to make that difference. I wanted to be more than a teacher.
And it's disheartening to be still be treated like, it's almost like you do, you know, you're sitting there and you're working hard and you're self-starter, you're not having to be asked to do things, you just go that extra 10, 15, 20 miles sometimes.
Yeah.
To the point of, you know, providing food for your for students that don't have it and clothing and, you know, getting their lunch when they can't afford it. And then you turn around and you're kicked in the teeth at every turn. That's the disheartening part about it.
Well,
yeah,
I hate to bring this up. I really hate to bring this up to you guys. But
okay.
I want to warn you about some of the talk that's going on, that's been going on for many years. As far as education on the technical side,
mm-hmm.
So there's a contingent of people, and there's some politicians in with it that think that the distance learning is what's best. Now, here's the dangerous part about this: the teachers. Now, the teaching profession, you can really have one teacher for hundreds of students.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That kind of talk is going on. So there are people who are coming really directly at the teaching profession and trying to really destroy it, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, that's
right?
Oh, absolutely.
What
because we're undervalued to begin with. Because we're undervalued to begin with. Of course they're talking that kind of talk. But of course they are.
So
I expect that. And you know what? I was talking to a teacher friend of mine, and I'm all about the residual income, you know, thing. And I was talking to her, and I said, look, no job is guaranteed. And I know you have teachers that get into the field, and they think that, you know, they're not going to be, they're irreplaceable. You know, that nothing. And I told her, I gave her that scenario, and I said, it's funny that you should even bring this up. I told her, I said, listen, when you're one-on-one with students, the ratios are a lot lower. But when you're teaching from a virtual platform, you can have one teacher to 100 students at one time.
Right.
Tell you about the number of teachers that's going to be needed in the classroom. What does that tell you about the number of teachers that's going to be needed if they do go to a totally virtual platform? That's why as teachers, you always got to have that fallback.
That's right.
It is what it is. You have to have a fallback game. You got to have a plan and not sit and be comfortable and complacent. And let me add a little something to that. As an African-American teacher, you have to have a fallback game in the state of North Carolina.
Uh-oh, she heating up.
Because who do you think is going to go first? Who's going to go first? Who do you think is going to go first?
She heating up, y'all.
I said it. I went there.
She heating up. I've been waiting. I've been waiting on that. She heating up.
I'm sorry, but who do you think is going to go first?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right in everything you're saying, and I'm at a standstill. I don't like being at a standstill. I don't like not knowing what the next calculated move should be. But that's where we are right now.
It definitely needs to be calculated. It needs to be that Madea calculations too. Pull out that calculator.
Yeah, I mean, I think personally, I think personally that we should think about how we can have more control over the schools, especially the schools in our neighborhood, right?
Right, right.
There has to be a bit more control because although I don't have young kids.
Mm-hmm.
If I did have young kids, I would rather them be, you know, if everything is safe. I'd rather them be in a classroom. I don't want them to be online.
Right.
Learning.
And I understand that.
I want a good student to teacher ratio. And that's what I would want for my kids. I don't want an online person thousands of miles, you know, hundreds of miles away.
Right.
I want somebody in that classroom.
But wouldn't you rather to make the sacrifice of a few months to make sure that when your child enters the classroom, re-enters the classroom, that they're safe?
Oh, absolutely. I'm talking about.
Would that not be a definite? Wouldn't you be willing to make that a few months of a sacrifice to
absolutely.
Have that virtual training for your child and have them return
right.
to the face to face interaction safely? And that's what a lot of
right.
parents are not willing
right.
to do. That's what a lot of the board members and people that are making these decisions, even in the politicians and such, those that are making these decisions, they're not willing to give it time.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was only talking if everything was
oh, yeah.
normal,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh,
yes.
If everything was normal health-wise.
Oh, if
right?
everything
so
was
right.
normal, we would most definitely be in with bells on, clicking our heels.
Rocking it out. Rocking it out. Making a difference. Impacting our young
yeah.
people and being great examples for them, you know, as African American teachers, period.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a great need for that.
I don't know if the average person knows that when this first come about and schools start shutting down, it was devastating to us as educators because
yeah.
we missed our children. We missed our students. We got to see them through video monitor, but we had went almost a whole year with them. And
yeah.
for us to have to like cut them off was really devastating. And now I really want to see them, but at the price of me and them getting sick and me bringing it home to my family and getting sick, it's something to think about.
It is.
Think
absolutely.
About.
Yep.
Carla, I appreciate you coming on, man, and talking with us. I really do. You gave us a lot of insight, and whatever
yeah.
you're doing up there in Toronto, definitely continue doing it and be the very best at it, man. I love engineers, you know. I've always had.
Absolutely.
I think whatever you're doing is going to be a huge, huge asset to wherever you end up or wherever you are.
Blaze the trail.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And you too, stay safe. And I'm wishing the best for both of you.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep my eye on the news in North Carolina.
Yeah, definitely do that. Definitely do that. Thank
Will
you,
do.
Sir.
All right.
All
okay.
right.
Take
All
right. care. Bye-bye.
Ms. Clark, you stick around with me just a little bit. I got to take a quick break.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to talk to you just a little bit more. Now I'm going to get out your hair, all right?
All right, I'm good.
Okay. All right, number to call is 515-602-9785. That number again is 515-602-9785. You guys are definitely, and I mean definitely, live in a day.
Ain't no stopping, stopping. What's the use in trying? Ooh, give me chills. Ain't no stopping, stopping. What's the use in trying? I like the way that you make me feel inside.
Live Alkaline Water is a family-owned, father and son business operated by Mr. Robert McCray, where he was proudly appointed by his great-grandparents to continue their journey of life, love, and respect. Live Alkaline Water is manufactured at the packaging property. Therefore, no chemicals are used in the treatment of the water. That's right, Live Alkaline Water is 100% pure from mineral beds 800 feet below ground. To learn more about this healthy way to enjoy pure alkaline water, call to speak to a representative at area code 336-775-7501. That number again is area code 336-775-7501. Or to contact Robert McCray himself, send an email to emaul9@gmail.com. Again, that's emaul9@gmail.com. And remember, eat right, drink right, think right.
What's up, my people? This is Big Easy from K-Cup Records. You're listening to Live in a Day with Jay Radio Show. Keep your heads ringing.
You are now listening to Live in a Day with Jay. Now go get him, Daddy.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 515-602-9785. That number again is 515-602-9785. If you guys are just joining us, we have been having a very deep discussion. One of our callers, he called in from Toronto, Canada. But I am joined by Ms. Clark. Ms. Clark, you still with me?
I'm still with you.
Okay, I'm not going to keep you much longer. I know, I'll talk your head off, I promise you.
Yeah.
My wife, she attested that. You know what I find very interesting is that the gentleman that was speaking with us earlier, he sounded like a younger gentleman. I don't want to stereotype, but he sounded like a younger gentleman. He sounded like one that is very aware to what's going on right now. And I can't help but to think that we have an ongoing problem that people are wanting to turn their heads to. Like you stated before, educators haven't been treated fairly for a long time.
Absolutely.
And this, to me, is the icing on the cake. In this area, I can only speak for this area. It's the icing on the cake for me.
It really
how
is.
How much more do we have to feel like we're not appreciated? We're not loved. Not by our kids. Because we know our kids give us the value. Our kids give us unconditional love.
Right. Exactly. That is a question... I've been asking ever since I came into the field of education. That is the question. The one thing that I've always valued educators. I have four children of my own, and they are extremely smart, very intelligent, self-starters, children. And I've always, told them and insisted that, educators are respected. I wasn't always an educator, but I tell you what, I know that we teach every profession. Without us, there wouldn't be work. We keep
exactly.
The world going. And so is that not worth something?
Exactly.
That's the question.
Exactly.
That is the question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
I think as educators, I think we need to band together, first of all. We need to be on one accord. We need to consider every aspect of people that have chosen the field of education and have chosen to do their jobs well.
Right.
I think we need to consider, you know, our well-being, and that's with self-care. That starts with taking care of ourselves. You know, there are plenty of heroes out there, you know, and I get it, you know, to a certain extent. But you can't put yourself out there to where you out here, you know, killing yourself and killing your family. Let's just be, you know, very, very candid about it and straightforward. And that
right.
is what this pandemic is doing in the decisions that they're making. That is what they're asking us to do, to take the chance. And we have to ask ourselves as educators, are we willing to take that chance?
Wow.
And we have to come together somehow to allow our voices to be heard and stop letting people make decisions, you know, about our well-being and our livelihood. We need
right.
to band together, and that's something that we're not doing. We're sitting back, you know, I'm not saying, you know, everyone, but I'm saying we
right.
have teachers that are sitting back and allowing other people to dictate to them, you know, their career. Now, that's the one thing I've never, ever done, and I take teaching as very serious. You know, I
right.
walked away from six-figure salaries because I wanted to make a difference, and I chose this profession. It was a choice
mm-hmm.
for me. It's not something that I went to school, and I've been doing all my life, and my mama did it, and my grandma did it, so I'm just going to do it, and I'm just going to take whatever kicking that they give me. And I'm going to live
right.
like a pauper, and I'm going to live from paycheck to paycheck, and I'm going to – no, we have choices.
Right.
We
right.
have choices as highly educated people. And we've got
right.
to let our voices be known. And in the state of North Carolina, you know, I moved from Virginia, Northern Virginia, you know, some years ago, and I came here and I could not believe the disparity in the salaries versus the level of education you have to have just to walk into a classroom.
Right.
You know, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe, and to get anywhere, you know, get any type of resemblance of pay to where you can actually take care of your entire family for the whole month. You know, and the level of education you have to meet to even make a decent salary is truly sad.
Yes.
It's really sad. And it just really blew my mind. And so I'm saying, as a person who's worked corporate, as a person who served this country, I'm saying we have a voice. And if we don't
mm-hmm.
open our mouths and let our voices be heard, we're going to continue to be in this situation to where people are going to dictate to us what we should be doing, not so much even in the classroom, but in our very homes, in our very lives. And that is concerning for me.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. So some things have to change. Things
they do.
Have to change. So some mindsets have to change, and
yes.
you know the way we treat each other, it has to change. The things we say in front of our young people, it has to change.
It has to change.
It has to be a positive narrative that's going on right now, and you know, I mean. Give me something to look forward to right now, because right now, I don't know.
James, you look forward. You look for the fact that you are a highly educated educator, and you have choices. We have choices.
Yes.
We have choices. And trust and believe, I strongly feel that when we stand, you know, for health, and when we stand for life, When we stand for what's right, everything else is going to fall right in place.
Exactly.
That's my belief. I'm not going to
exactly.
be a puppet for them. I'm not going to
exactly.
be an experimental project for them. I'm not. I refuse to be.
Exactly.
I've worked too hard.
Exactly.
I've worked too hard, and I'm not going to be. I can take my little degrees, and I can go and work
yeah.
anything.
That's right. That's right.
And make more money. That's the kicker. Make more money, probably
yes.
not make the big, you know, have as great of an impact, but I can certainly be able to put
that's
my
right.
two daughters through college without having them having to scrape and scrub trying to make, you know, you know, and eating bologna sandwiches. Doing nothing wrong with bologna, y'all. I like bologna. But, you know, they shouldn't have to suffer because I choose a profession that where I'm undervalued.
That's right. That's right.
So,
I think we got one more caller. Let me take one more caller, and I'm going to let you go. I think they want to speak.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, caller. You on?
Oh, go ahead. I'm just listening, man.
Okay. Where are you listening from?
I'm in Atlanta.
Okay. Hi, Atlanta. But, I think right now, Ms. Clark, if we don't change the whole dynamics of how we deal with each other and how we deal with the situations that's in front of us, we are going to continue to be in this whirlwind, and we don't have many doors to choose from right now. But like you say, we do have the option to choose. We can choose our own destiny. I just don't want to choose and leave those that I have pledged to serve behind. You know, it's a tough situation.
Yes, it is tough.
You know, for educators, people don't understand that. I know, you know, we have your children for 7, sometimes 8, sometimes 9 hours out of the day, scoring if they play sports or whatever. But I know, you know, we have your children, and you have no idea, it seems like, the bond that is created with students.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially the ones that you get the privilege of watching go through certain grade levels, and you're there and you watch them become young adults. It's the feeling is indescribable.
It is indescribable. I have students that, I mean, they were tough. They were tough ones when they were coming through.
Right.
But when I tell you the bond that was created, the level of tough love that was given, they always come back and say, "Ms. Clark, thank you. I didn't understand it then, but I truly understand what you were talking about and trying to prepare me for now." That happened numerous of times. I'm telling you, it's been it happens more times than not. And so it's a hard decision. We're in a hard, really, really tough place right now. But also, we also on the flip side of that, James, we have to also allow them to see that we can make our own door.
That's right. That's right.
We can make our own door to dare to speak out, dare to speak up for what's right. And we're still teaching. We're still teaching them. So, you know, I have to, although I know, you know, the decision is hard, but, you know, they're all teachable moments. They're teachable moments in every aspect. Whatever decision that we make as educators, whether to continue on this road, or take a break, you know, come back. I mean, however, you know, whatever decision that we choose to make, know that, that the eyes are watching. They're all looking, and they're all being impacted by whatever decision that we make, both good and sometimes even not so good. But I choose to stand. I choose to make decisions that's going to be healthy for myself, because I have a lot of work to do out here in this world, and I know you do as well. And
that's
I have
to
choose to continue to strive towards my destiny, to continue to move towards my destiny. And I'm hoping that other educators will make those same decisions and do it not based on what you think your administrator or so-and-so is going to make. Because let me tell you something. They might send flowers, and then they might not. Let me just put that there.
Yeah, and I put a period right beside that.
A period. They might. And then they might not. And they won't even take the time to come to your home-going service. So, or your funeral. I'll say that because a lot of people don't know what home-going is. But your funeral.
Right.
And so you have to take all of that in consideration. Oh, they love you. Oh, and buttermilk in your mouth, honey. You the best thing since peanut butter and jelly, as long as you're doing what they want you to do.
Right. And listen to us. We sound so much like educators, don't we? Talking about some putting a period beside it. We found
don't forget the
pyramid. Dirty, don't
forget the pyramid.
Yeah. Talking about putting some pyramids aside. I bet y'all some of my kids looking at this and like, listen to them. They need to get with it.
We punctuated everything, right?
Yeah.
We are punctuating, honey. So this is a whole essay. This is a dissertation right here.
I truly, you know how I feel about you. I truly thank you for coming on the show. I'm going to have you on the new show that we get ready to have as soon as we get some things out of the way so we can be around each other. I'm getting ready to, you know, start it up. So I
indeed.
Thank you. You know, I love you with everything, and I want you to make the greatest, the best decision for yourself, just like I'm going to do. And we're gonna try to do this thing.
Absolutely. I absolutely wish you the best. I thank you so much for giving me a platform and sharing your platform. And I have thoroughly enjoyed the conversation.
Yes.
I hope that something was said that will impact others. That is my prayer. That is my goal. And so I do. I wish you the best. I cannot wait to see what's in store for you, my brother. I've enjoyed working with you. And I know that one day we'll be able to, you know, cut up in the hallway again.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
I look forward to that. And I look forward to teaming with you the way that we have this past year in making a difference and impacting our children's lives and drying their tears and giving them words of encouragement that we've partnered on multiple occasions.
To
make the bigger impact with our students. So I do appreciate you. I look forward to listening. I'm definitely going to be tuned in from now on.
Yeah, definitely be tuned in. It get a little hot up in here sometimes, but for the most for the most part, we try to make sure that we're handling what we need to handle in our community, because that's all it's about.
Tough conversations need to happen. We can't
sugarcoat
everything. And so I commend you for that, for tackling the tough conversations and not being afraid to put yourself out there like that. So I do appreciate you on that level, and I do wish you the very best. I do. And
thank you
so much. All right, dear.
All right, I'll talk to you again off air.
All righty, take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Number to call is 515-602-9785. That number again is 515-602-9785. So I'm going to bring on real quick before we start closing out the show, because there's something else we need to talk about. My man Metro, I was on his FaceTime yesterday, and it's only right that I bring him on the show today. So welcome to the show. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. What about yourself?
Boy, you sound like you're in a windstorm. What are you driving?
I'm driving, yeah. Hold on, let me see if I can change my head.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Now?
I need you to be safe, though, while you talking.
Oh, I'm safe, man. I'm going to take it easy going down the road.
So let me ask you a question. I want to ask you two questions, actually, because I know you're in the education field also. But
right.
Let me switch gears a minute. Let me talk about what happened down at Tony's Ice Cream in Gastonia last night.
Mm-hmm.
Been all over Facebook. So I'm assuming you heard it, right? You heard of it.
I have. I had to correct some people earlier today because he wanted to call people fools. And I like, don't say that word. She may have not been acting in the right manner, but don't call her a fool.
So what's your take on it?
Watching it and listening to what everybody has said, we all know establishments in Gastonia have had that stigma of not appreciating the black business, like Black's Barbecue, R.O.'s, Tony's Ice Cream. And that's why I choose not to go to those places. I know they're historical in the Gaston County area, but I choose not to go. Even though she may have been in the wrong, but I still don't think she should have went to jail for trespassing, from what I understand, for her to be on the sidewalk. I mean, I get it. They didn't want that at their place of business. But for the cops to come and arrest her for trespassing, I didn't understand that one at all.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit strange myself. And there needs to be answers for that. There needs to be some sort of explanation to why it ended the way it ended. But what are we going to do, man, in this community? How are we going to bring this community together? What is it going to take?
Well, one, we need real leadership. I mean, I get the whole protest and I get the things that we're doing, but who really are our leaders in this community? Who do we reach out to for advice? I know I always hear people talk about where's our lawyers at? Where are the people that know the laws of the land? Who are these people? Why are they not reaching out to us to be in leadership? I think you said something important yesterday. When all the people that that died, that carried the legacy of Martin Luther King, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
We need some of the people who had that dream like Martin did, who want to get into law enforcement, that want to be a lawyer, to help guide us in where we need to go. And where are our church leaders? Where are our leaders, our religious leaders? Where are our leaders at? Who are our leaders in Gaston? And
I guess we
can figure that out.
I think they're there. But on the same token, Dr. King's dream has turned into a nightmare. If Dr. King was living right now, we'd probably drive Dr. King to cussing and drinking beer.
Because the things and the decisions that we make. Because, like, right now, man, I think a lot of things that we're doing in our community, we're doing for clout. We're not doing things for the right reasons. We're doing it so we can get likes on Facebook. And that's not what this whole thing should be about.
Yeah, Facebook is something else, ain't it?
Yeah, because I read a post earlier about the girl who did go to jail, that another young lady was going to go help and bail her out. But she said, once I saw who she was, I turned around, because they said that young lady always does things for clout. And I like, see, it shouldn't be that way. You know, you shouldn't be trying to get arrested to prove a point. You shouldn't be out there trying to do things for likes. That's not cool. If we're going to protest. Let's mean it from the bottom of our heart, not because we're trying to get people to like us. Like yesterday when I went live, I didn't go live to get however many views that the thing got. I mean, I appreciate that it did. That mean the message got out there, but I didn't care nothing about the numbers. I just wanted to hear from the people. And I think if we do things like that and be sincere about what we're doing, we can change our community.
I agree. And our community needs to be changed. It needs to be changed for the better of the community, that is, and for our young people. Our young people, man, we...
But I will say this for all my people.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I will say this for all my people who know about the Bible. We need to get rid of all the doubt and Thomases that we have in our corners, though, because I do see one thing bad about our community. We got too many people that doubt situations. Oh, that can't happen, Jay. Oh, I don't know about that. Oh,
yeah,
why would I stop
eating
from over there when they ain't done nothing wrong to me? Well, we first have to come on one accord. And once we come on one accord, we can make things change. And that's the biggest thing I see wrong with our community. You may have 5 or 6 good people over there really trying to make a push, but you got these doubting Thomases. Unless I see for myself that it can happen, I'm not going to believe it. I'm like, come on, y'all.
Okay, so you brought up the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to another question.
Okay.
And you probably know where I'm going with this, but I want to know your thoughts. I want to know your thoughts because now there is a huge push for the white Jesus to not be displayed no more and to have a black Jesus. What is your thought on that?
I mean,
well, that's the hot seat, ain't it?
that is. I mean, because you're gonna be damned if you do, damned if you're not. I mean, I don't put that up in my house. I don't even recognize who that man is. When people say this is Jesus, like, I don't know who you talking about. But I will say this: I think it should come. If we're gonna take everything down, it should come down. The only problem with stuff coming down is, if the roles were reversed and they start taking down statues of Martin, they start taking down street names of Malcolm,
exactly,
how would that affect us?
Exactly.
So it's a damn if you do, damn if you don't. Because
that's what's going to happen. That's going to happen, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to happen. And if you start taking that down, they're going to be asking for everything else, which, I mean, it's probably a normal reflex. It's a normal clapback.
Mm-hmm.
But then it escalates the division within the people, and see, The whole point of this is to not be divided anymore. Is it our young people, our kids, are they the only ones that understand that color does not matter, race does not matter, gender does not matter? Are they the only ones?
Yes, they are. They are, because even to this day, if your son go out there and get him a Caucasian woman, somebody in the family gonna be like, "Well, why you had to choose her for? Was that a black girl wasn't black enough or wasn't good enough?" So you know it's gonna have that thing from an adult, and you know the kid not even gonna think about that. The kid gonna think, "Hey, she's in the same class I'm in. She's pretty smart. She look good. I like her." That's all kids see. They don't see the whole thing of she's a white person or her ancestor did this to my ancestor. We don't see that. Kids don't see that. We as adults, we have that in us, and then we put that off into our kids.
Wow. Wow.
I see it all the time working in the school system. Working in the school system, man, I see some of these kids go with some people that I'm like, man, would I have made that same decision? Would I have been bold enough to make that decision when I was in school? Because I'm not going to lie to you. The only reason why I didn't date anybody that was Caucasian when I was in school, because all the hits that you was taking from your peers.
Right.
And some people say, well, that was weak. You should have did it anyways. Yeah, but, you know, do you want to hear the mouth of people or do you just want to be easy with things? So, I mean, I commend the kids today to not see color and just go with what they like or go with what
they
love.
They don't, man. They don't. They don't. I'm telling you, they don't. And they are the ones that are going to stop this ridiculousness because just like I said yesterday on your page, Dr. King only has a couple of his comrades that walked and fought with him. Only a couple of them are still living. Once they're gone, then the legacy of Dr. King is gone from this earth. So our young people are going to need something that is going to give them the push to do the things in the mindset and the likeness of King and all the other ones. And if we haven't got ourselves together, then they have nothing. And here we go. Here we go with all that. If you don't learn from history, it does what? It repeats itself. It gets you the second time. So right now we need to make sure that they have learned from history and that we have left a legacy for them so that they don't have to search and they don't have to run and they don't have to hide. They can stand up and face what's ahead of them, and they know how to beat it. They know how to get past it, and they know how to make it not come to them ever again. That's what we got to do for them.
Right. And you're right. And I think we should have some type of open forum once a week or whatever with somebody to where we can, you know, have these conversations so people, young people can keep learning from. Well, we can keep learning from them, and they can kind of learn from what we experience, and they can keep, you know, we can keep teaching each other. But we got to do something to keep it going, though. We got to do something to keep the conversation going, but in a positive way.
You're right.
Even now you're seeing, like, the people protest. All right, we protest, but what's the positive side of it? Because after a while, you know, all this protesting we doing, some negatives start to seep out, and we need to keep this thing positive.
Right. Right. So, I tell you what, man. I'm going to bring you back on the show, and we're going to talk. We're going to talk a little bit more. I'm going to bring you back on the show, and there's some things we definitely need. I need to give you the whole show to talk about, but I appreciate you taking time out a little bit because I want you to stop talking and get home and stop driving and talking and all that good stuff. Get home.
I got home, you. And it's raining too. I'm going.
Okay, we'll connect off the air a little bit, but I'll talk to you, and I appreciate you coming on the show, all right?
All right, thank you for having me.
All right, brother.
All right,
be safe. Guys, I want to say real quick, I appreciate you guys for continuing to support the show. Please support the show. Go to iTunes, look at Live in the Day with Jay Radio Show. Click, subscribe, it's free. Rating is free. All that stuff's free. You can listen to shows on demand for free. And let's get this show to the next level. I need to get as many subscribers as possible on iTunes so we can take it to the next level. Also, make sure that you keep your eyes and ears open for the new show that we get ready to have premiere on Facebook Watch, which is called Shop Talk. And I promise you, you're going to like it. If you have not seen the commercial, go back on my James J. Radio Facebook page and look through the news feed and find the commercial so you can check it out. Tell me what you think about it. Share it. You know, I think it's going to be a great situation. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to thank, oh my gosh, Houston. And Jacksonville, Florida. I want to thank Albany, Georgia, New York, Chicago, South Philly, Arkansas, Little Rock, and Bakersfield, California, and Seattle. I want to thank you guys for continuing to support the show, listening to the show, and please continue to support the show. I do this show for you. So if you don't do anything else today, tell someone you love them, because you know, don't know what tomorrow may bring you. You never know what's ahead for you. So tell those that you don't normally tell that you love them. That's why I tell you guys each and every show, I love you with the greatest love that I can give you. And that's the love of God, because he gives it to me each and every day. So tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about some more things that's going on, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about what happened over at Tony's Ice Cream and all that good stuff, and why it shouldn't happen anymore. You guys are definitely, and I mean definitely, been live in the day with Jake. See you tomorrow. Peace.